discussion of Richard of
MLP. And I passed out the presentation on MLP. It's just a really an update, if you will, from standpoint of performance for the last quarter and bringing up to date the MLP presentation that you had before. There are really only a couple of pages that I wanted to spend a little bit of time just to go back over, and basically page two is one of those pages showing the relative, if you will, performance of the Alerian MLP index to the overall stock market, if you consider the S&P as being a proxy for the overall stock market. MLPs have had phenomenal longer-term returns. And also then on page three, you can see that in many of the years in which the stock market was negative, or in several of the years, MLPs were actually positive or had very little negative return. 2008 being a year that everything was lockstep.
The ocean goes down, all ships sink.
We're going to have another year like that? I don't know. But it was a year in which everything went down, and I think there was some sort of calculation done, like it was like a 400-year event or something. But just from the standpoint of the correlations, longer-term correlation of all the different asset classes for everything to be lockstep in the same direction at the same time is a very, very rare occurrence. I would hope that MLPs would add some additional diversification going into the future. But I do know, one of the things I do know is they should add significant amount of income to the portfolio. A lot more income, quite frankly, now than really is being generated in government securities, for sure.
This current quarter, why is that number so
low?
Low.
Well, actually, I think that's part of the diversification thing coming back into play. Because if you look at the next page, which is page four, the volatility of MLPs, and this includes that terrible 2008 time frame, is significantly less than the volatility of the overall stock market. So if you're looking at MLPs right now, have 5.25% to 6% income component. They've got at least looking at MLPs in general, there's about a percent and a half of distribution growth. There's also an inflation characteristic that is off that are inflation component of the contracts with the various companies that are pushing product through the pipelines, and so that inflation and the distribution growth would add back up to being around 7.5% or 8%. So if you look at MLPs and their income plus that distribution growth, historically that's been what's been driving the overall return of that asset class. And maybe we're getting back to normal, I don't know. But I do believe that over longer periods of time, that income component adds a lot of stability. They did not, and I should have put the quarterly data in here. They didn't have quite the volatility during the year that the stock market had. They held up fairly well when the market really went down. So it didn't need to go up so much when the market really came back up this last quarter. And if you think about MLPs for the trailing year, right, pretty much in line with the overall stock market, but on a much, much more stable platform.
That's the Alerian, is the one we bought?
No.
We haven't bought any.
No.
Well, I'm thinking of the.
You're talking about the.
Corn and steer. Corn and steer.
Recommending that perhaps you buy the area?
I am recommending that we do something in MLPs. Last time we talked about doing an actively managed portfolio and were then diverted because of the tax implication possibly of doing an actively managed portfolio.
What did you find out about the tax implications?
Well, we ended up getting a, and I think y'all had in your material, there was a letter we got from our auditor, actually one of our tax partners and stuff. And his position said, well, that, yeah. It was not definitive, let us say.
That's the way I read it.
I know, it was not definitive. It basically said, for the most part, the government doesn't give you, or hasn't been, they've suspended giving opinions on the tax ability or the tax exempt issue of this. He said, there are MLP funds though that don't have, unearned
business income.
That's right.
Unrelated
business, UBI.
Yeah.
And there are some MLP funds that you can pick that take away that UBI issue. So it depends on the type of MLPs you pick as to whether you can get some of these custom, I think what Rich was saying, some of these custom funds you could potentially get into UBI, and it's really not clear whether we might have to. Obviously, we're tax exempt as an entity, but this is a fund.
Yeah, what would be an application that we did?
You'd have to file a 998-T, which, and really most of the distribution that comes out of MLPs does not carry. I mean, the whole thing is not unrelated business activity.
Okay, it's a portion of it.
It's just a small portion of it, and that small portion of it, you may have to pay some taxes. Would it be? I guess a little bit more work, but would it be onerous? Probably not.
But he also did say that you could shy away from that as far as only invest in those that the prospectus must say. I think is what he was saying. The prospectus must say if they're going to shoot that
kind of unrelated business.
Right. There are mutual funds that send out 1099s versus K-1s. There's an ETN or several ETNs, and there's an ETF that you can invest in that are 1099, not K-1. And I have clients that do both. I mean, not do both, but do, you know, well, I have clients that are doing actively managed and say, we don't pay taxes anyway. And I have clients that say, well, you know, I just don't want to even think about it. So they go the ETN route.
I noticed the expense ratios tend to be about 2 basis points, plus or minus. Is that fair? Looking at your report?
Well, no, the expense ratios are basically around 85 basis points.
There must be institutional pricing there, because these all show
sector costs.
Well, yeah, if you go to the back, I mean, I did put in the pull-down very recent, if you will, information on the Illyrian MLP index, and it's that's an 85 basis point exchange cost, and also the AMLP, which is an Illyrian infrastructure index, which is an ETF. That one, you go on their website, it says 85, and for some reason I've got them in at 1.4. That may be the additional taxes that they're paying on behalf to issue a 1099.
That is Illyrian MLP ETF?
Yes.
That is
and quite frankly, it's very, very new. And there's not much, you know, of a history with it. They've got, as well as Roland, into, I think it rolls into 3 years this October.
So it's insertion dates 8/25/10.
But there, you know, there's $3.2 billion in the ETF right now, so it's very, you know, highly subscribed.
Well, all of these things are fairly recent history.
Well, yeah.
I mean
most quite frankly, it's been a high net worth play. And it's only recently come into the institutional space. Now, I've had clients for almost 8 years now, and they've done extraordinarily well. And as you can see, the overall return to their MLPs, they've been very, very happy with having MLPs in their portfolios as an allocation. So recently, a year ago last December, the International Monetary Fund approved an allocation to MLPs, and the Oklahoma Teachers approved this last year an allocation to MLPs, and so effectively now it's gotten into the institutional marketplace.
You guys have had more time to look at this and think about it than we have. Do you have a recommendation?
If there were not a tax, any concern about taxes, I'd say Tortoise would be a great, you know, thing to do. But the index is hard to beat. And so from the standpoint of the Alerian MLP index, there are two ways to do that. One is an ETN through JP Morgan, which I know just had some very, very bad press.
That's very smart.
And you lose $2 billion to get bad press.
AMLP, which is the Alerian MLP infrastructure index.
There's a difference between the Tortoise MLP and the Alerian ETF, in my opinion. It appears to me, and I don't know anything about these things, really, but the Tortoise seems to be direct investments in the resources, whereas the others are...
Well, Tortoise, of the MLPs that are out there, the Alerian MLP Index, you know, goes and they find the largest MLPs, and they boom, and it's capitalization weighted in the index.
Okay.
Tortoise picks and chooses among those and among others. So there is a little bit difference with Tortoise. Now, they have had a little bit better return than the index, but not all the time. You are right. There is a little bit of difference between them. And the same thing with, from the standpoint of... the Alerian ETF will match the Alerian infrastructure index. The JP Morgan ETN will match the Alerian index, which has a few more securities in it than the infrastructure index, but not a lot of difference. They're about the same. So, I mean, if there's a concern about having, because the ETN is a note with JP Morgan, if there's a concern about having a debt from JP Morgan, a venture from JP Morgan versus having a piece of underlying securities, then I would recommend going with the Alerian MLP ETF. And number one, you definitely don't have the problems associated with unrelated business taxable income anymore, and you're with the guys that actually developed the overall index to begin with.
What does it refer to? It is the, and there's the Alerian MLP Infrastructure Index, and the exchange traded note, it says the index tracks the performance of midstream energy master limited partnerships.
Right. There's a few additional MLP, underlying MLPs in the calculation of the overall Illyrian index versus the infrastructure index. So it's just, I mean, and it's very slight. It's very slight.
Specials are a lot different. The distribution yield is a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's so new that it has no ratings.
Right. The Illyrian MLP index, they set their distribution, looks like on a calendar basis. The J.P. Morgan Illyrian MLP index, declare that or send out the distributions on a trailing basis.
So all of these are marked by symbols. You can look them up and
get
your price.
Yep. Right there. That's right.
And some of those you included, some of you didn't.
Well, these are the ones that are in here are the ones that are mutual funds or ETF BTN.
And what percent of assets are you trying to get?
We were targeting 5%.
It's about playing about $900,000, $1 million or so.
Slated as being high income components of the portfolio that had additional income. Well, and the real benefit over time from that additional income is that you have that to pay benefits from and without having to go in and raise the corpus periodically. You also have that if increase in contributions are going in, you have that to be able to redeploy into other asset classes during volatile times. So you can, I guess, kind of dollar average into asset classes when they're kind of out of favor.
How do we buy this from? How do we buy these?
We would notify the custodian to
Wells Fargo.
Right, Wells Fargo will give instructions on what to liquidate, just like we did on the DC thing, and they'd liquidate.
Richard?
Rebalance.
I'm sorry.
No.
On this Portis, and I kind of lean that way, but in that situation, do you have an interest in hard assets versus others? In other words, it says they got 8.83% of the Williams companies. That's Williams companies. Pipelines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, makes up the value. Is that
right? Right. Yeah, well, they would own, 8.3% of their fund would be invested in Williams.
Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, Williams Brothers has hard assets behind
it. Right. Well, it's the same thing in the ETF. They would have those.
Okay. I don't know. Right.
Yeah, the ETN would be a note. The ETN, the performance of the ETN tracks the performance of the index, and you've got a promissory note from J.P. Morgan to pay you that return.
But you would have more exposure to energy.
Right. That's correct.
Energy related. Okay. Anybody have any other questions about investing in MLPs? Do we have more presentation in MLPs?
This was just basically a rehash of what we talked about before. I really think that the asset class, the additional income to the overall portfolio is a big positive. I think that hopefully we return to more normal, if you will, correlations, and if that's the case, it's to lay in significant diversification to the portfolio and some stability.
Can you convince that either one of the first two alternatives, page 14, 15, page 16, 17, there'll be no EBTI protection?
Yes.
I mean, it may not amount to a lot of dollars, but it's a very significant distraction to the person that has to mess with it.
Right. That's true.
It is. And it's the same distraction whether you have $1 million or $100 million.
Right.
You're filling out the same. Right. The numbers are a little different. It really doesn't, you don't want to mess with that. It's an ITIA factor.
Yeah. I understand.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have, I think we have a resolution.
I'll put a resolution up there. y'all have a, is there a, committee have a.
This wouldn't really be an agreement. It would be a purchase of, if you're leaning towards, if you're going towards Fortis, it would be an agreement with Fortis. If you're going to one of the mutual funds, whatever it would be, to have the custodian purchase whatever.
So we wouldn't have a broker in it at all?
Whoever the custodian would utilize is, it would be the...
Wells Fargo would
be... Would that be you, Richard?
No. Wells Fargo would they would just buy the... It's like a mutual fund, really. They would just buy the shares. He's just saying that technically probably executing an agreement might not be the... But it's... I'm not sure that's a problem. I mean, you're directing me, Wills. Whatever
the...
Yeah, directing the...
But anybody can buy these
things. Yes.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it's just another purchase. So that's fine.
I don't have a problem with that language. That language will, even though technically it'll be fine as far as the direction I would need.
We want to put that 5% in there. Is that the understanding, or is that something?
The investment policy.
The policy has got the 5%
range. We amended the investment policy two meetings ago.
Consistent with the other. And do you want, or are we talking about the Alerian MLP ETF? Is that where y'all...
Is that what you recommend?
I would recommend that one right now, given the uncertainty.
I'm not sure we want to have anything to say that we're investing anything in J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, it's just
right now.
Any other comments on that?
I don't know how these things are set up. The fact that it has J.P. Morgan in it, I don't know that...
Yeah, that's a...
What that has to do with J.P. Morgan's just financial integrity. I mean, I think it's just a name. I think this deal is a prime that would have to meet certain criteria, and those dollars are not the same dollars that your guy doesn't for it.
Right.
J.P. Morgan still made it for the quarter, $800 million.
They're going broke.
What's the difference you see? You see the difference between, because there is a, at least on the sheet, there is an expense differential. And what they're doing is very similar. You said their investments are very similar, though.
Yes. Very similar.
Between which ones, John?
Between the J.P. Morgan ETN and the Alerian ETF.
One is an exchange-traded fund, the other is an exchange-traded note, and I cannot explain the difference to you in 100 words or less. Can you meet now?
Well, the note is a obligation on the part of J.P. Morgan to pay you the return of the index. The exchange-traded fund is a purchase of underlying securities that produce the return of the index. J.P. Morgan can basically do whatever they want with the money you give them. Mm-hmm. But they are saying, I'm going to pay you the return of this index.
And theoretically, they would have more expenses to do that.
Theoretically, that's the way.
Is the Fortis fund, is that the one that has the protection of UBIT?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's because of
That's because they will be buying securities, putting them in a portfolio that is in your name, and you will be then issued K-1s by the underlying securities that they purchased on your behalf. So however many securities they have or how many K-1s you're probably going to have.
Well, that's John's problem.
Actually, it's Matt's problem. It's actually Matt's problem.
Matt's problem.
We'll find somebody to handle
it. I just told him I was kind of leaning toward that tortoise thing because he didn't have enough to do.
We want to give that directive, then that's your question, John. Which one?
Yes. Which one?
Which one is
which one?
So I can make sure I'm flagging on my
book here.
The ETF.
Okay. Page 16.
There is a slightly higher, it was noted, expense ratio, and I think that's because of having to pay the taxes on the underlying security so that you don't have that problem. With the ETN, since they're not necessarily invested in all of those different securities to begin with, they're just promising you that for giving them 85 basis points, they're going to send you the overall return of this index.
Which in some cases, they could make a lot more money.
They could. Oh, absolutely.
But they're guaranteed. No.
Right.
They did better than that, but money.
Okay, we've got a resolution, and we want to have a reading of it.
You want to do the ETF?
Larry. MLP ETF. Okay. Yeah, 16. Okay. We have a reading of the resolution.
Is that I'll read. Be it resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority authorized the General Manager CEO to execute an agreement with the Alerian MLP ETF to provide master limited partnership investment management services to the retirement plan for employees of the Brazos River Authority, in parentheses, the DB plan, with the agreement containing such terms and conditions consistent with the investment policy of the DB plan and in the best interest of the Brazos River Authority.
Okay, you've heard the reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
Did somebody second that?
Please poll the committee.
Chairman Bennis?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Concert isn't here. Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Wheelis?
Yes.